Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome to Faith in the Zone, a show about sports and faith, how the two come together and lives being touched. Right now, discover how people in sports walk in faith with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on 1250 AM, The Fan. 'Cause I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see. Nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see. Nobody but Jesus. When Moses has stage fright.
I'm Mike McGivern alongside my co-host.
Each and every week.
Almost each and every week, except when he's traveling. He's a world traveler sometimes.
No, I'm not traveling anymore.
Man, he's the head pastor at Brookside Baptist Church and my friend, Pastor Ken Keltner. Pastor, you look good today.
Well, Mike, you do too. So, it's a great day today.
I like seeing the smile. I like seeing smiling, Kelvin.
That should be there, man.
It is there. Hey, I'm excited about our special guest today. Former Auburn Tiger, former Miami Dolphin, and author. Auburn Tiger, Miami Dolphin, and author. The name of the book, The Greatest Team, A Playbook for Champions. This man, let me give you a little insight. He played on the undefeated Miami Dolphin team, and his nickname, Captain Crunch. Not because he liked Captain Crunch, but man, he hit people so hard they called him Captain Crunch. Nobody's ever called me that. I never hit anybody on the football field hard enough for them to call me Captain Crunch.
Well, that's because you were a shake and bake guy.
Yeah, that's me. I was shaking, but I just couldn't bake them, I'll tell you that right now. Hey, Mike Cullen, how are you today, sir? Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you, Mike. I'm doing great. It's good to speak with you and the pastor, and I've been looking forward to it.
Well, we really appreciate it a lot. Hey, let's start, if we can, Mike, with your background. You grew up in Hoover, Alabama, played football, high school football in Alabama. Tell me about those days, Mike. Were those days that you look back fondly?
Oh, yes, most definitely. Football was a big part of my life, and I guess it always has been. I actually started in Montgomery, Alabama, in the first grade and played through the sixth grade. And then our family moved to Birmingham, and I went on the field for maybe 3 days and then quit playing my seventh grade year. I just was trying to adapt to the whole situation, and football didn't need to get in the way of studies and other things. So, but then I moved up to, as you said, Hoover. It was called Berry High School in those days, and so we got started there in the ninth grade and had a real fun career in high school. It was a new program and new coaches that were just terrific players, coaches. And really cared for their kids. It was a great experience for me. And then after that, had the opportunity to go to Auburn.
Hey, Mike, a number of years ago, they did a They did kind of a reality TV show about high school football at Hoover. Did you watch that at all?
You know, I may have, but I can't recall it. But I am aware of it though, and they've got a terrific program there. There's no doubt about it. It's one of the best in the country.
Yeah, it is. And what happened after that was their coach was doing some stuff he shouldn't be doing. I mean, he had a whole secret life. But that program, I caught it one week and I didn't miss it after that. And I'm a high school basketball coach, so to watch the interaction of these families, and I know, look, you're gonna act differently if there's a camera on you than you are. But listening to their talk at the kitchen table was always very interesting to me. And and it seemed like there were times where the mom was a little bit less engaged and saying, hey, just relax, it's just a game. And the dad was saying, hey, look, you know, this is life. This is what life's about. Or it was reverse. And the tough part was when the mom was on the kid and the dad was on the kid saying, hey, look, this is the biggest thing in your life, and trying to live their lives a little bit, you know, through their son's life. And I often wondered if they ever went back to that team and picked out, you know, 10 guys and said, let me tell you where they're at now. I'd sure like to know whatever happened to some of those guys.
Well, sure. There's no doubt about it. And high school football is a big deal for a lot of families. And indeed, I guess we, back in the early 60s, you know, we didn't know how big a deal it was or was going to be in the future. But yet, it was a great experience for me and my teammates because, again, we had a startup program that had a lot of character in it and emphasis on team and not about the individual. So it was a great way for me to get started with football.
Hey, Mike, this is Pastor Ken. You went to Auburn. I mean, every school has, you know, those intense rivalries. Obviously, Auburn's is Alabama. I mean, those games back when you were in Auburn, I mean, did you guys do well against them? How did you fare against Alabama? Because you were probably going up against Coach Bear Bryant back then in those days, weren't you?
Oh, yes. Yes, he was their coach starting, I think, in 58, and had a great career there. And we had some tough games with Alabama. In fact, in those days, there was a freshman team, and they beat us there in Tuscaloosa and then won the next two games my sophomore and junior year. And then my senior year, we had two great offensive players, Pat Sullivan and Terry Beasley. Pat Sullivan ended up being a Heisman Trophy winner.
Yeah, I remember that.
And Terry Beasley was his great receiver. So they helped us beat Alabama my senior year, more so than any Auburn team has in terms of the score, and it was 49-26. We Ooh. Won.
Boy, you remember so, that one?
You remember
came
the
right,
exact
that
score?
Right back. That's good.
Well, we got exciting. I mean, you know, we felt like we had a senior loaded team, and with Pat and Terry as sophomores, we had some great underclassmen, and so it just worked out great for us. And so it was a real thrill since Auburn hadn't won in a number of years.
Yeah, who was coaching Auburn at that time?
Ralph Shook Jordan.
Okay.
And I don't know if you remember that name or not, but he finished his last season, I think, was 77, something like that. But he had a 30-year career there.
Wow.
And won national championship in 57, but was a great head coach. And again, he was the players' coach and really cared for his players for sure.
We are talking to former Auburn Tiger and Miami Dolphin and author, Mike Colon. He, you know, Pastor, he was named Miami Dolphins top 100 players of all time. He was number 44.
Wow, what an accomplishment,
big.
Mike!
Think about the Miami Dolphins and think about them, you know, through the history of that organization, And Mike Colin, our guest, is right up there, and that's awesome. Hey, Mike, really quickly, did you enjoy, now that you look back, did you enjoy your college years playing football more, or the years that you played for the Dolphins?
Well, they were, you know, that's a good question. I hadn't been asked that too often, but Auburn was a great experience for a lot of reasons, which I'm sure I'll share with you earlier, but I mean later on, I should say. And the experience in Miami was once in a lifetime type opportunity because my rookie season was Coach Don Shula's rookie season in Miami as well in 1970. And things started to turn around in a hurry. That had a four-year franchise history, and I think their best win was four wins in one season. So Coach Shula turned things around to start off with. And first day of training camp, he had us all in a small room, kind of shoulder to shoulder, and came in, gave us no sort of greeting whatsoever, and wrote two words up on the board. And the two words were world champions, world champions. And he realized if a group of guys were focused on the same common goal and same common objective, that they could accomplish great things. And so we started out with four-day practices from 6:30 in the morning to literally 11 o'clock at night is what we concluded. And for about 5 weeks. So he wanted to make sure that we had a good foundation, which indeed we did. And so I think that first season we had maybe 10 wins. And then the next three, we were in the Super Bowl and had a perfect season and had two world championships. So it was, it was really, for me, a once in a lifetime experience. It was for all of my other teammates. So it's a pretty special memories when we get together and enjoy fellowship with each other to this day.
Yeah. Hey, Mike, I got to ask you this question. From 6:30 a.m. to 11 at night, I know you guys were in great shape, but, I mean, you had to be somewhat pretty sore, weren't you?
Oh, yeah. Well, sure. That's what professional football is. Yeah.
So you start off sore, and you're sore all through the season.
Well, not necessarily. I think you get after the first week or two of practice, and the veterans were on strike that year, and they missed the first 2 weeks. We were one deep in every position as rookies, but yet it gave Coach Bill Arnsvarger, our defensive coordinator, who's one of the greatest in the history of the league, gave him an opportunity to look at some of us rookies a lot more than he would normally do in a regular start of a professional football team. So, we had five rookies that started that year and started all the way through our championship years.
Were you an outside linebacker?
I was the first couple of years, and then Coach Arnsvarger implemented a defense called the 53 defense. It was named after Bob Matheson, who was number 53, a very versatile linebacker. He was before his time, really. He was like 6'4", 235, and ran the 40 in 4.6. So he was a phenomenal athlete, and he would oftentimes either be a defensive end or a linebacker. He was labeled as a linebacker, but occasionally he would rush the passer as well as a defensive end. So it was a defense that kept kept basically our opponents quite confused for 2 or 3 years there in terms of just really understanding what the defense was all about, because Coach Arnsvarger was a defensive genius. I mean, he was not only a great coach, but in terms of the personnel, but he was just he was a genius and put this thing together. And a lot of teams were confused quite a bit as a result of it.
That's awesome. He is Mike Cullen. Before we get to a break, you talk about being sore. I asked Gary Ellerson, who played for the Wisconsin Badgers, Green Bay Packers, Detroit Lions. He is he works here at Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I asked him as a running back what it was like on Monday after a game. And he said, you really want to know? I said, yeah. He said, put on a football uniform, put your helmet on, go in the alley, and run into your garage door 25 times as hard as you can. And then get up on Monday and tell me how you're feeling. He said, because that's what it feels like. He said, Monday, he said, I'd get up on Monday and I'd say, I can't do this anymore. And then Tuesday, I'd start feeling a little bit better. And by Wednesday, you know, I'm ready to go. He said, Monday and Tuesday were hard, man. They were hard.
Yeah.
Guys, we have got to get to a break. Other side of the break, we'll continue our conversation. Again, Mike Cullen, former Auburn Tiger, Miami Dolphin, and author of a book. And we'll talk about this book later in the show, The Greatest Team, A Playbook for Champions. You can go to alabamabooksmith.com to pick that book up. Again, alabamabooksmith.com. The name of the book, The Greatest Team, A Playbook of Champions. And Mike Cullen will continue to be our guest throughout the entire show. This is Faith in the Zone.
More now of Faith in the Zone, discovering people in sports and their walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church. Back with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on 1250 AM, The Fan.
I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. Moses had stage fright.
Thanks for joining us. I'm Mike McGivern alongside Pastor Ken Keltner. He is the head pastor at Brookside Baptist Church. If you listen to the show, you want to come listen to pastors preach, you come sit by me.
Yeah.
Brookside Baptist, I go to the early service. I sit far back on the right side just because I'm there with my mother-in-law and she has a hard time walking.
Okay.
No, she doesn't. She doesn't have a hard time. Phyllis is phenomenal. I pick her up every Sunday. We have great conversation. In fact, she's probably listening right now.
And she told me she really wants to listen to the program.
She does. She does. And we sit in the back because the music a little bit loud for Phyllis. And I just appreciate her interest in this program.
Yeah.
She thinks that you and I together are funny. I told her it's me. I carry Patrick. My back hurts at the end of these shows.
Yeah, Mike, that's his pain after this the program. He's saying, man, my back hurts, my shoulder. I've been carrying you like crazy, Ken.
It's kind of like I played, Mike Cole, it's like I played in an NFL football game. That's what I think it must feel like. We are talking to Mike Cole. He is a former Auburn Tiger, Miami Dolphin. Again, he is an author, The Greatest Team, A Playbook for Champions. Mike, before we get into your testimony, so there was a play called they called it the Sea of Hands, and Kenny Stabler, he threw a weak pass toward running back Clarence Davis in the end zone. Davis is surrounded by three Dolphins, including Mike Cullen. Mike got his hands in the ball, nearly knocked it away, but somehow Davis, amidst the sea of hands, ended up with the ball and the touchdown, giving the Raiders a win and ending the dynasty that the Dolphins had. Mike, is that a play that you don't still remember that play, do you?
Well, I don't reflect on it very often.
Nor should you. But thank goodness, thank goodness for guys like me that can keep bringing it up again.
There you go. Well, that's part of your job, Mike. You know, you gotta bring up a few interesting issues. I won't say controversial, but interesting. And indeed, it was. It was one of the most. It had to be the most frustrating play in my entire football career, because we had things going so well, and but the Raiders were certainly ready to play. It was a even game. You know, that season, it could have gone either way, and they had driven down the field, and I think they were on like the 10-yard line or something like that. And I knew, you know, we had an outside linebacker, Larry Ball, and myself that were supposed to take care of Clarence Davis inside or out. And he just made a great play, and he had the leverage on the ball. I mean, I thought I was going to intercept it. I moved toward the ball, anticipating intercepting the thing, and then all of a sudden, I felt him coming up my back, and he just had the leverage on the ball, and it was quite frustrating. But yet, you know, it every great dynasty or big win and or victories in the NFL have to, you know, cease at some point in time.
And, yeah, you bet.
And indeed, that you know, the players. I mean, the Raiders deserved it. Kenny Stabler was always a sort of a hero of mine, because even though he played at Alabama, he was a great football player, and it was really fun playing against him and for several years. And but they deserved it, and unfortunately, it knocked us out of the opportunity for another Super Bowl. But yet, you know, our three-year run and having a perfect season, I mean, as you look back, you realize it was one of the greatest opportunities that anybody could ever experience in professional football.
We are talking to former Miami Dolphin, Auburn Tiger, and author Mike Colin, the name of the book that he wrote, The Greatest Team, A Playbook for Champions. Pastor?
Yeah, Mike, we'd love to just talk to folks, too, that we have on the program about how they came to know the Lord and their journey of faith, and love to hear what God did in your life there to bring you to himself.
Well, thank you. I grew up in a Baptist church, Pastor, and okay. And I'd heard the gospel many times, I know, but yet I was, you know, through junior high school and high school, even though I was exposed to the Fellowship of Christian Athletes and meetings there, I was living up to the philosophy of the former philosophy of Burger King, have it your own way.
Yeah.
And indeed, that was what my life was all about, just like so many other teenage lives are about. And it's all about you and football and academics and, you know, the whole works. And but yet I knew that there was something missing in my life. And I, after signing with Auburn, I started football there before school, obviously. And I had some sort of injury. It just was it really held me back. Wasn't able to play. I felt like I was a burden on the team and everything else, and it just a really a sort of a disheartening experience that you don't anticipate as soon as you start collegiate football. But anyway, so with that, and then a number of other things throughout my freshman year that kind of had me misled and that type of thing, but yet in reality, God knew what he was going to do for me at some point in time that year. And so my latter part of my freshman year, I had, I attended several FCA meetings there, but was invited to go see a film called The Restless Ones, produced by the Billy Graham Association.
Mm-hmm.
And it was free to students, so I said, "Well, goodness, if it's free, I'm gonna go." And I had a couple of friends and invite me. And that film showed or illustrated how one group of kids our age, basically in college, were experiencing frustration and fear and doubt and that type of thing, and that. Bottom line is they were living for themselves instead of for God. And then the other side of the film was a group of kids that had it had life together simply because they had come to know Jesus Christ and personally. And you know, as a result of that, it changed their life and it changed their perspective and attitude and everything mm-hmm. else. So, mm-hmm. I mean, that communicated to me. It was like phenomenal. I mean, even though I'd heard the gospel many times, Pastor, I don't, you know, God has his time in terms of bringing us to him. And indeed, that was obviously my time. And so I walked back to our dormitory. My roommate was home for the weekend. It was a starlit night, and I was, you know, thinking about all of my life and experience and what I just heard and the impact it could have on my life. So I just simply walked back to my room and went inside and closed the door. Nobody was there but me and God, and I knelt at the foot of my bed. And you know, you can't help but get a little emotional about it.
Absolutely.
In reality, but I knelt at the foot of my bed and prayed something like this: you know, God, please forgive me for going my own way and doing my own thing, and forgive me for all my sin. And right now, the best I know how, I want to invite you into my life to change my life, forgive me my sin, and make me the kind of person that you want me to be. And he did exactly what he said he'd do in Revelation 3:20, when he said, mm-hmm. Behold, I stand at the door of your life and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come into him and have fellowship with him and he with me. And that's exactly what I experienced that night by the grace of God, and my life has been different ever since then.
Mike, what? Someone told me once, if the cross won't make you cry, nothing will.
That's true.
Yeah, that what Jesus did on that cross.
Amen.
For each of us and for the whole world. And I mean, you talk about crossing racial and societal barriers.
Right.
That's the cross. And Mike, what a wonderful testimony of what the Lord did there in your life. And so after you came to know the Lord, you're still playing football for Auburn. You started growing. You found some other believers there on the team that really kind of helped you. Or
right.
FCA was a great help to you through that.
Well, FCA was, and we had meetings on a weekly basis, and we had several older players that were leaders there that. Really were a great blessing to us. And so that experience, you know, with experiencing fellowship with other Christian athletes was a blessing to me, and certainly was helpful for my growth spiritually. And then I also got involved in an organization called Campus Crusade for Christ. And as you well know, a lot of your listeners probably know that organization well, and it really impacted my life also in regard to having fellowship with committed Christians and having Bible studies such as that. So those two organizations, along with some committed Christian friends, really helped me get off on the right foot in regard to my relationship with Christ.
Mm-hmm. We're talking to Mike Colin, former Auburn Tiger and Miami Dolphin. Hey, Mike, real quick before we get to a break, and I ask a lot of athletes this, and I'm wondering what your thought is on it. Was it easier to walk worthy while you were in the locker room or outside of the locker room? Do you know if inside the locker room, sometimes that's a difficult place to walk worthy, because if there's not a lot of other Christians to keep you accountable, you know, that's a difficult place to be. Outside the locker room, sometimes there's, especially on a college campus, a lot of temptation. So I'm wondering where it was easier for you to walk worthy as a Christian, in the locker room or outside of the locker room?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know if anybody's ever asked me that question before.
Hey, Mike's good at that. He asks great questions.
Well,
hey, thanks.
I think that's neat. Well, I think it was probably more difficult for me to walk worthy of the Lord outside of the locker room. And the reason I say that is because, everybody on our team at Auburn and with the Miami Dolphins certainly weren't Christians. But we had a group, a nucleus of guys at Auburn and at Miami that were committed Christians, and to a certain extent, obviously, we held each other accountable.
That's awesome.
For our Christian experience, especially in Miami, as a result of you know, our chapel service, and I had my mentor was Norm Evans. I don't know if y'all ever.
Oh, I remember.
You need to interview Norm Evans because he was after his professional career. He was like the president of
Athletes and
Athletes in Action.
No, it's Pro Athletes Outreach.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Yeah, Pro Athletes Outreach. He's president of that for 30 years, but more than, you know, from a personal standpoint, for me, he was my mentor in Miami for 4 or 5 years. We lived in the same neighborhood. We'd drive to camp and practice and back. And so he and his wife were very close friends, my wife Nancy and I, and it made a huge difference in my life to have a big brother like that I was accountable to, that I loved, and we had a great relationship. And to this day, when we hang up the phone, we tell each other we love each other as a brother in Christ. And it was just a great experience for me. And in fact, I met Norm at Fellowship of Christian Athletes Conference spring before our first training camp in 1970 with Coach Shula. And so since then, we've been greatest of friends. And he's really obviously been a huge blessing to my life.
Hey, guys, we've got to get to our break. Pastor, you've heard me probably say this a lot. As a coach, I'll ask kids, what's the definition of team? And the definition is two or more horses pulling in a similar direction for a common goal. I've got a new definition of team. And I got this from our guest, Mike Colon, with the book that he wrote, The Greatest Team, A Playbook for Champions. I'm going to tell you what his definition of team is on the other side of the break.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone, an inside look at people in sports and their walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Bayview Shade and Blind. Here are your hosts, Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Kellner, only on 1250 AM, The Fan. I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. Moses had stage fright. I'm Mike McGivern alongside Pastor Ken Keltner from Brookside Baptist Church.
Our guest for the entire hour, former Auburn Tiger and Miami Dolphin, and he's an author, Mike Colon. The name of his book, The Greatest Team, A Playbook for Champions. You know, Pastor, again, my definition of a team, two or more horses pulling in a similar direction for a common goal. And I utilize that a lot with basketball teams that I coach. But reading about this book, and again, you can go and pick it up, alabamabooksmith.com. Go to Alabama Booksmith, it's one word, alabamabooksmith.com, to pick this book up. And the word team for Mike, it goes like this: trust, enthusiasm, attitude, and motivation. And I love that. I can see putting this up in the locker room with letter T for trust, E for enthusiasm, attitude, motivation, a concept that Mike, I'm sure, has shared a lot in his life, and want to talk to him a little bit about that. Mike, did you think one day when you were, you know, in college and early in your professional year in football that you'd be an author? Was that something that you were striving for?
No, not quite.
No,
you started laughing before you finished the question.
Captain Cat, this book is written by Captain Crunch, man.
Well, no, I had no idea I'd be an author, and it's been an interesting experience, but yet it has given me the opportunity to share the acronym of TEAM. Trust, enthusiasm, attitude, and motivation, as I've done speaking over basically the last 40 years. And it's interesting that my brother-in-law is the is a guy who shared the acronym with me. He thought of it first, and he was a consensus All-American from the Naval Academy, and he's in the College Football Hall of Fame, Chet Moeller, and from the Naval Academy. And he's always said, Colin, you need to give me a percentage of your honorarium when you go talk about it. You know, I said, well, you know, I hadn't done it yet. I made
you said, trust me.
Hey, get me Chet's address. I'll send him a T-shirt from the radio station or something. Tell him we're even.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll do that later. But anyway, so it has been you know, a great way to talk about the intangibles of a championship life, or the intangibles of a championship team. And because when you think about the importance of trust, I mean, I don't want to get into it. You guys, you know, ask whatever you want to. But, you know, the importance of trust is the foundation. Without trusting each other as a team member, I mean, you don't have a chance to experience any sort of championship endeavor for certain. And then, you know, ultimately, the foundation of what it's all about is trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not upon your own understanding. And so it's that type of trust when you're involved in a team effort that can make a huge difference in everybody's performance and as well as their life.
Don't you see today, Mike, a de-emphasis, even with the younger kids today, you know, it's more look at me, you know, the individual,
right,
instead of the team. I mean, haven't you seen that just kind of go, you know, it seemed like it's getting, you know, bigger and bigger down that path?
Yeah, you know, that's so true, Pastor. It and it really concerns, it certainly concerns you, because you realize that that's not a fulfilled life, living for yourself and,
yeah, mm-hmm,
and exclusively, pretty much, and it's just not a fulfilled life. God meant for us to relate and have fellowship with His creation, the human being, and to have it, you know, as a result of our relationship with Him, is where the real fulfillment in life comes from. So, you know, you just really hate to see so many young people in our generation, because indeed it is it's not the team generation, it's the me generation.
Yeah, that's a good
point.
And
mm-hmm, with the focus on the individual, and it's you know, living a selfish life is, because I've tried to do it myself many times, it's totally frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, the end result is disharmony and frustration and fear and doubt and everything else. And so as a result of it, you know, and experiencing it myself, I don't want to have anything to do with me. It's all about team, with my family, with business. The name of my business for a number of years was the Colin Team, and still is. And so team is a pretty big deal around our household.
Well, it's big at church too. We're a team.
Oh, I believe it.
Yeah, we're a team moving forward with a mission there to accomplish for the Lord. And so but yet you still see, as far as in athletics, the teams that win the championships are a team. I mean,
right,
you look at the USA basketball going out and getting Coach Krzyzewski to come in, and he created team. And I mean, you know, have they even lost a game since he came on board?
yeah, I don't think
I don't
so. I think I could win with. I could be the coach. Maybe.
He coached my four boys, Mike. Yeah, so
I coached the Keltner boys. Hey, Mike, I'll tell you. You know when, and I haven't told this in a while, and I know you hate this, but Mike, when I was coaching Pastor Ken's kids, do you know we have three different relationships? And he is my friend. He's my pastor, and he's a parent of some of the kids I'm coaching. So when he would walk up to me after the game, I'd have to quickly identify who I was talking to. Was I talking to my friend? Was I talking to my pastor? Or was I talking to a parent? Because trust me, I'm going to respond differently to a parent than I am to my pastor and I am to my friend. Yeah, so he would ask me a question, and I'd have to say, who am I talking to right now?
Well, he usually knew. He would come up to me afterwards. And I remember one game, Kevin, our second, scored 37 points, and Mike came up running at, right after the game, goes, whatever you do, you don't say one negative thing to your son or I will be all over you. So Kevin came out of the locker room, and I saw Mike. Mike was watching me like a hawk, and I said, Kevin, and I started pointing my index finger at him real hard, and I said, that was one of the best games I've ever seen you play, son. And Mike thought I was chewing him out. Here comes Mike running across that gym floor.
And you know what? This goes right back to the book, because I needed to trust him. You know what?
And I needed, we need a team, by the way.
And I
team.
Needed Pastor Ken to have enthusiasm. He needed an attitude check sometimes, and he needed some motivation. See how we bring that right back to this book.
And we're a team, Mike.
We are a team, because I do have a lot of trust in you.
And that is great.
I bring all the enthusiasm, attitude, and motivation for the show, but we do trust each other. Hey, guys, let's get to a quick break. Again, the name of the book, The Greatest Team, a playbook for champions. You can go to alabamabooksmith.com. And I'm going to ask Mike on the other side of the break his motivation for writing this book. And it is not all about football. This book is not all about football. There's some great life lessons in this book, and we'll talk to Mike Cullen, again, former Auburn Tiger and Miami Dolphin, Mike Cullen, on the other side of the break. This is Faith in the Zone.
Back to Faith in the Zone, a journey on how people in sports walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Here are hosts Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner, only on 1250 AM, The Fan. 'Cause I'm just a nobody. Trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. When Moses had stage fright,
I'm Mike McGivern alongside Pastor Ken Keltner from Brookside Baptist Church. Our guest, and man, he's been a really good guest. This has been a lot of fun for us. Former Auburn Tiger and Miami Dolphin and author, Mike Cullen. Name of the book, The Greatest Team, A Playbook for Champions. Go to alabamabooksmith.com to pick this book up. Pastor, you wanted... We got a short segment here, but I thought that was good.
Yeah, I just, Mike, you know, you guys were undefeated for the season, only NFL team to ever do that. And, you know, when the Patriots a few years ago went into the Super Bowl undefeated, thinking, hey, they win this game, and they looked like they were going to win the game. I mean, what kind of reactions, I mean, do you have with something like that, the other players that were with you on the Dolphins? Because I know you guys will come back together to celebrate that season of being undefeated at times.
And it always seems, don't they always put, is it Dick Scott? Is that, they've always seemed to have a camera around him. This was years ago, at least with New England. And they always wanted to know what he was feeling like. And he was like, I'm happy they lost. I want to be the only undefeated team. And I like that, the pure honesty, man. Yeah. Well, how are you feeling, as Pastor said, Mike, how are you feeling during those times? Last year, I thought possibly Carolina might do that with that Auburn quarterback that they have.
Right.
But,
sure.
But you know, the New England Super Bowl, are you happy when perfection stays with Miami like that?
Well, I mean, you put yourself in my position or any of my teammates' position, obviously you're going to be happy. It's not that you're, you know, you're pulling against anybody. You're pulling for the Giants against the Patriots, you know, a few years back. And at least that's my perspective, and I think it's a perspective of my team. Because if you're pulling for the team to win and they win, you accomplish just as well as pulling, you know, against some team. And it's just more positive way of looking at it, I guess. But
I'm sorry, it was Jake Scott. Oh, Jake. Say, okay. Yeah, Jake Scott.
You said
Jake, no, Jake I said Scott. Yeah, yeah. Jake, I said Dick Jake Scott. has always said what you know what was on his mind and didn't back away from anything. And you gotta love the guy for that. And when he was one of the most intense players I've ever been around in my total football career. And of course he was a great player as well and a great friend. So, but he definitely told it like it is, and from his perspective anyway.
Hey, Mike, I know we only have a couple minutes, but I have to ask you, Nick Bonacani, was he one of the hardest hitting linebackers you'd ever been around?
Yeah, he was, and it was interesting in that he was just 5'11", 215 as a middle linebacker, but he was quick as a cat, and he would be in the hole before the running back got there. To make the play, and but more than anything else, I mean, he was a great player, but he was the leader of our team on the field. Nick Bonacani was he was just a classic leader that knew how to he called the defenses in coordinating with Coach Arnsberger. He was the nucleus of our enthusiasm. Of our trust, I mean, a great attitude, and he was motivated because of his, not only because of being, you know, a great team, but also out of love and respect for your teammates, which is the greatest motivation in the world, is L-O-V-E.
Yeah.
And so that's what we had with each other, and it made a huge difference.
Well, Coach Shula always just seemed to be just a gentleman there on the sidelines. I mean, that's what you experienced with him. I mean, hard, you know, he could push you guys hard, but just a player's coach, gentleman.
Oh yeah, most definitely, and one of the brightest coaches ever in the game. And obviously, you know, he's still the winningest coach in the history of the National Football League. So he knew how to do it. He was so detailed, so. So personable with the players and all. You just you fought the best you possibly could just for the sake of pleasing him, if nothing else, because he was a great leader again, and the greatest reason that we experienced the championships that we did, and also the perfect season.
Well, Mike, we can't thank you enough for the time that you've given us today. Hey, Mike, you have two kids. How many grandkids do you have?
We've got 5 grandchildren.
Man, that's awesome, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
You go out and throw the football with some of them?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, most definitely. I've got a senior in high school now, my grandson, that is playing football, but he more important than that, he's applying for the Naval Academy.
Wow.
And awesome. So and it looks like it may have a good opportunity to be there, but anyway, it's been great being with you guys.
Yeah. Hey, Mike, next time you're in the yard and you're playing catch and he makes a catch, just go up and tackle him and say, that's why they call me Captain Crunch right there. That's what you need to do. Remind those young lads that you still got a little something.
Yeah. Old school. Yeah. Old school.
It is a little something, though.
And then, yeah, when you get done, then go. You're going to have to go and put on some Bengay or something, but make sure that they know that you are still
sir.
Captain Crunch. He is Mike Colon, again, former Auburn Tiger, Miami Dolphin. He's an author. I would highly recommend this, The Greatest Team, A Playbook for Champions. Go to alabamabooksmith.com to pick that up. Pastor, thank you so much. It was good to see you.
Yeah, and it was good to have you on, Mike. We really enjoyed
well,
it.
Thank you
for your
Pastor.
Testimony. That was a phenomenal, I mean, just a moving testimony. Thank you.
Yeah, it's amazing, yeah, Pastor, that this, like you said, you know, the cross can bring guys like us and a guy they used to call Captain Crunch to tears. So
absolutely.
It's awesome. Again, he's Mike Colon, The Greatest Team, A Playbook for Champions, alabamabooksmith.com. Go pick that up. Hey, Mike, thanks a lot. Have a great day. Have a great week. And good luck to the Auburn Tigers this year.
Yeah, well, same to you guys. God bless you.
Thank you.
We'll see you.
Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Faith in the Zone with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner. You can hear Faith in the Zone every Sunday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. to find past shows, exclusive podcasts, or to contribute with an inside tip on a guest, simply go to faithinthezone.com. Faith in the Zone is an inside look at people in sports and their walk in faith. Join us again next Sunday for Faith in the Zone, right here on 1250 AM, The Fan. 'Cause I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. When Moses had stage fright, and David brought a rock to a sword fight, you picked 12 outsiders nobody would have chosen, and you changed the world. Well, the moral of the story is everybody's got a purpose.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.